Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School District Board has adopted a $239 million budget for the next school year. The spending plan restores earlier approved staff and program cuts and adds money for other changes. According to a district release, the largest restored line items include $1.8 million for custodial services, over $600,000 for school activities, and $500,000 for library assistance. Among newly funded items are decreases in student-teacher ratios for middle and high schools, totaling over $700,000, and district-wide full-day kindergarten at $455,000, a change highlighted by School Board President Heidi Haas.
Providing that huge opportunity for our youngest learners really does allow us to create some equity in those kindergarten classes.
The changes reflect better than anticipated funding from the state and borough and use of $6 million from school district savings accounts.
Utilize fund balance to meet the needs of all of our students and walk away feeling good that what we're doing for our district really is a positive step forward.
Haas acknowledges that the budget may not be sustainable. Its final passage follows months of public concern about proposed cuts and wrangling between school and borough officials over how much of district savings should be tapped for operations. The Fairbanks North Star Borough is considering development of acreage in the Gulfstream Valley. Borough Community Planning Deputy Director Kellen Spillman says the borough is looking at selling about 20 road-accessible acres within a 2,000-acre tract north of Gulfstream Road. Spillman says that spurred broader conversation about whether the area's current general-use zoning is appropriate.
General-use zoning district's a very kind of flexible, broad zoning district. Basically, any use you can think of with a few exceptions are allowed in general-use, and there's one-acre lot size minimums.
Spillman says other borough zoning categories require larger minimum lot sizes and restrict what kinds of development can occur. The Gulfstream acreage is crossed by popular trails, and Spillman emphasizes that they will be protected under any zoning designation or land sale.
The borough does have a comprehensive trails plan, and if there were ever to be any subdivision in the area, the developers at the time would have to dedicate and preserve the trails.
The borough held an initial public meeting on the Gulfstream area lands last night. Spillman says any plan to rezone or sell land has to go through a review process, ultimately in ordinances that go before the borough assembly. Arizona Democratic Congressman Raul Grijalva is in line to chair the House Resources Committee if Democrats take over the House this fall. Grijalva's top priority is a bill that would close the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. As Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports, Grijalva held a forum on refuge protection Tuesday.
The Arctic Refuge is something that is not only held in esteem, but is a beloved.
Grijalva is from Tucson, and he's ranked one of the most liberal members of the House. He was the first in the House or Senate to endorse Bernie Sanders for president in 2015. Alaska Congressman Don Young often accuses Grijalva and other Democrats on the Resources Committee of reading environmentalist talking points about Alaska. But Grijalva sees it differently. He says championing environmental issues like the Arctic Refuge is a way of standing up against moneyed interests.
The caribou don't conduct a lot of fundraisers for us. And the wilderness can't write us checks. And these are all being sacrificed to satisfy this Republican obsession with opening up every acre of public land to drilling or mining.
This event was intended to highlight a new bill that would overturn last year's decision to open the coastal plain of the Arctic Refuge to drilling. It has zero chance of passing now with Republicans in charge of Congress. But Grijalva says it gives drilling opponents something to organize around. He says Democrats are itching to hold Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to account and maybe roll back recent changes to public lands policy. And he says one of their first bills will be the one to stop development in the Arctic Refuge.
You can't negotiate a way out of this. This is, you have to defeat it.
Gwich'in opponents of drilling are frequent witnesses at forums like these. Democrats rarely invite leaders from Alaska Native corporations, which overwhelmingly want to see oil development in Anwar. But Grijalva says the corporate support shouldn't eclipse what the Gwich'in are saying. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
There were two mountaineering accidents in the Alaska Range this week. The National Park Service reports that both occurred Sunday inside Denali National Park. An NPS release says the first incident involved two climbers hit by falling rock and ice while ascending a sub-peak of Mount Hunter. One of the climbers suffered a broken arm and lacerations. The pair used a satellite communicator to call for help before descending to their base camp, where the injured climber was picked up by a helicopter. The second accident happened on Denali, where two climbers fell from a ridge at over 16,000 feet on the West Buttress Route. The Park Service says the roped together climbers tumbled about 1,000 feet before being stopped by a large crevasse. The fall was witnessed by other climbers, and the pair activated a personal locator beacon. An NPS ranger tried to reach the injured but was turned back by deteriorating weather. One of the injured climbers made it to a camp on their own early Monday, while the other, who suffered a spinal injury, was reached by a ground team and hoisted into a helicopter for transport off the mountain. I'm Dan Bross.